In my early teens, I did 4 or 5 years of the Nutcracker Ballet in Oakland, California, and I'm now in my 4th year of A Christmas Carol here at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. But Gregory Hurt, musician, actor, and now musical director, has done the Goodman Christmas Carol for 25 years. Greg, my first question to you is, are you haunted by ghosts of Christmas Carol's past?
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 20th year, number 993, Quarter Century Caroler. I got to do one of my favorite things last week, sit down with a fellow cast member and talk about the work while drinking adult beverages. Greg Hurt has been a mainstay of the Goodman Theater production of A Christmas Carol for a quarter of a century, more than half of the 48 years the Goodman's been producing it. So I was very excited to talk to him about what keeps Greg coming back to this classic tale year after year.
Have seen 25 years, quarter of a century. Looking at you, I want to say you must have started when you were 5.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. 5. Yeah, or earlier. Yeah.
No, but I know you haven't done 25 years in a row. You took some time off. But did you start as a child actor in this?
I was 19 when I started.
Okay.
So I was just outside of being a YP, a young mm-hmm. performer, mm-hmm. I did start as Peter Cratchit, as Peter Cratchit and the fiddler for the Fezziwig scene.
So you've been an actor musician from the jump, from the very first performance.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And it was my first big professional theater show after high school, and it was a treat back then.
That was a great qualifier. It was a treat back then, and now it's a
job. Now it's a job.
No, it can't be that much of a drudge or job, because you keep coming back to it year after year.
Well, we never said I was smart. I mean...
No, I heard you. You're an actor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's employment. I mean, sure, there are things that I do think are beautiful about this show, and meaningful, and important.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the only reasons I could keep coming back and doing this show.
Yeah, there's very few gigs you want to do 25 years in a row.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's good employment, you know, face it, we're performers. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you take what you can get.
Sure.
So
yes, I love it when actors are asked, how do you choose your roles? Well, I get an audition and then I get the job. That's how I choose my
role. Somebody asked me to do it and I said, oh, okay, sure. I'll take some work.
But being a musician, I mean, I'm fascinated by this, but because do you consider yourself a musician first or an actor first, or you swing both ways equally?
I'll go both ways. I'll go sure. anyway. Somebody will, yeah. you know,
pay
somebody
me to
wants
go.
Me. Exactly.
Yeah.
I've always been a musician, so I've been playing the violin since I was 4.
All right.
It was never something that I wanted to do professionally. I never thought I would do it. People would ask me as a little kid, you know, is this what you want to do when you grow up? I said no.
Yeah.
I did some community theater when I was like 8.
Yeah, been there.
And that was fun. I did really enjoy that. And then... in junior high, or maybe it was still the end of grade school, I started taking classes at the Piven Theater.
Oh, sure, sure.
And I enjoyed those. I mean, it was scary. Some of that, you know, I don't know if I was shy, but I had a tough time with some of that stuff, you know.
But you enjoyed performing music with the violin. Did you end up performing using your own body as the instrument? Was that a thing?
I enjoyed, the thing that I, you hit it right, the thing that I enjoyed about playing the violin was performing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing things for people, making them happy. I enjoyed that element of it. And I think that's what I liked about the theater also.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely much more thought that I would go, if I did anything in that...
Professionally.
Yeah. I thought it would be theater, acting.
Okay.
The violin, the music was just something that I did. It was something that I always did.
Right.
It kind of came naturally.
Sure.
And it was during Piven, I would, anything that I wasn't acting in, mm-hmm. they would say, hey, is there, you know, could you do some music here? And I'd say, oh, yeah, it's easy, sure.
Yeah.
And so I would just end up playing stuff.
Yeah.
And then that just kind of became the thing, and I just went where the work was.
It's such a great calling card for an actor to have another, you know, arrow in their quiver.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But that was not, that wasn't a conscious thing on your part.
No.
Yeah.
No, in fact, I would have wanted to do more acting.
Yeah.
But the violin just was this, and actually I've even played flute back then.
Oh, wow.
I even thought I would do that more, but the violin has always been my main instrument.
Okay.
It was just something that I think it was more novel, something that not everybody, even, you know, in the acting
sure.
groups and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So it was more of a specialty thing.
Right.
Cause I could, you know, improvise stuff, just make it up and mm-hmm. do whatever. And that just kind of took over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, well, sure, I'll just go where
the job is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
So you started as Peter Cratchit, the oldest mm-hmm. Cratchit child, but also playing the violin at the Fezziwig party.
Yeah.
And then from there, how long did you do that? How many years did you do that before you graduated to your next role, your more adult role?
I think I was Peter Cratchit for, I think, 3 years. It was two or three years. I
All
can't
right.
exactly remember. And then it was just musician. But when I first started, they hadn't had live music in the show for a while.
Mm.
And this was back at the old Goodman space. And so they were...
Right. Your involvement with Goodman's Christmas Carol predates the theater we're in now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And
incredible.
They always said that the Christmas Carol built this theater.
Oh.
You know, it was... yeah.
It is a perennial. We're in our 48th year. Yeah,
This is it.
Yeah.
It was already a, you know, a long-standing thing before I started.
Sure.
Peter Cratchit to the musician, and then we added more music to the show. So it became busier just as a musician.
Right.
And then I don't even remember exactly when it was. I would do other things, like I was Future for a year, and I would understudy stuff, and, you know, various narration stuff.
Yeah.
It's been the same adaptation, the
right.
same script, but it's still morphed and changed over the years.
Every year it gets tweaked a little
bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, and many directors have taken things out and added different parts back, and
for a while, my first 3 years, there was a single narrator, and now this year again, a bunch of us, you and me mm-hmm. and many others, are sharing the narration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This goes back to more how it was, mm-hmm. you know, years ago. That's more how I remember it. It was shared by many different people.
Right. You know? Well, and live music has been a feature of it in the time I've been both seeing this and production and being in it. And does it feel like we've added more music this year a little bit?
This year, definitely.
Yeah.
This year has been probably the biggest change. I mean, there have been years where, like, what was it, 2-3 years ago, we started out with a kind of a musical number. It's definitely changed from year to year.
Sure.
This year, Malkia, the director, expanded the World Carol.
The carols from around the world, part of the Fezziwig big party scene. Yes,
yes, exactly. The language section in that.
Yeah.
We always had the other languages mm-hmm. had a little moment, and we had even a couple more before, but it was Malkia's idea to expand them and have them even change musically, have the music
right.
change to accompany that,
right.
and it's become more of a feature,
mm-hmm.
And really become more of the song than it was before. So that's expanded. And then the dances to go along with it, that is an expansion.
And I'm upstage during the end of it, you know, with no lines of my own, but we're all yelling and being part of the crowd scene, and my microphone's not on, but I'm definitely yelling in an English accent with a 21st century attitude, drum solo!
that's the best.
It's infectious, contagious. Go ahead.
It really is. I really enjoy that. Yeah. You know, that is new for this year. It was always a violin solo for years and years and years. Yeah. And I love this, you know, the addition of the drum. I think it's a great, lively, infuses a different flavor, a different feel, and a lot of energy. And so it's just super fun.
This is Matt Walker, the artistic director of the Troubadour Theater Company in Los Angeles, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the first half of 2026, we'll perform three performances of all the great books abridged in Virginia and Michigan in the U.S., and we'll be bringing back the show that started it all, the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged to more than 30 cities in the UK. Check out the touring page at our website, reduceshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information in both countries. And now back to my conversation with Greg Hurt, talking about the 25 years he's been performing in the Goodman Theater production of A Christmas Carol.
Since I played the alternate Scrooge for the last 3 years, I won't ask you who's your favorite Scrooge. That would be that would be rude and weird. Mm. But I will ask, what are some of your favorite things that have gone wrong in the 25 years of doing this show?
Wow. I mean, that's a tall order. This shoe, there's nothing goes wrong. Of course, we're professionals here.
Really? Not even the performance where I put on the wrong pair of long johns and I couldn't get hooked up to fly, so we had to stop the show for 5 minutes?
Wearing the wrong underwear. Scrooge is wearing the wrong underwear.
Abort
the flying. No, we've had, you know, we don't usually have to hold the show. We've had things, people have gotten sick.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in the Cratchit family, one of the chairs broke.
Oh, golly.
During the scene under Mrs. Cratchit. Oh. And I think I just sat there staring, not knowing what to do. And the person who was playing Bob Cratchit, you know, pointed at me and said, "Peter, I told you to fix that chair." And I just,
wow.
Yeah, it was
amazing.
It was great. We had a good laugh over that. Let's see. There's, you know, it does run pretty smooth.
It is a machine, a well-oiled, incredibly meticulous machine. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm way more aware of this year that I'm actually playing a role and I'm doing every performance,
right,
rather than just playing Scrooge at specified performances. I'm aware of how many moving parts there are. There's at least 30 people on stage and probably that same amount of crew backstage and downstairs and not even including the people in front of house.
Yeah.
It's a massive production.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think maybe this is one of the reasons you keep coming back to it. For me, it's sort of a privilege to be part of something so massive and beloved. Is that a thing that enters into your thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember, it was a treat, like when I first started working on this show, it felt like something special. I came downtown, I worked downtown at, you know, this great, respected theater.
Chicago's flagship theater, arguably.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was part of this spectacle, this show, this tradition that was known by so many people.
Yeah.
There are people that have come here for literal generations. You know, their parents brought them as they were kids. Now they're bringing their kids. people came, I remember one year, people came and asked the musicians to play in the lobby afterwards. They had come there on their first date, and they were now getting engaged. He was proposing, and they have since come back with their children. I mean, it's
amazing.
This is, there is something special to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can say, oh, you know, I'm working on a show. I'm doing the Christmas Carol downtown. People know what that is.
Yeah.
And it really, there is something special about that. You can say, you see the buses driving down the street, and they've got the billboard for the, the sign for the Christmas Carol. And, you know, there was, I think it was my second or third year, they had, the picture was a giant picture of the Fezziwig party and everybody up and dancing.
Sure.
And I was on there, and I could literally point to the buses and be, and that was my picture.
I'm on the bus!
I'm on the bus!
I have made it in show business.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, there is something special to that. There really is.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Goodman Theatre production of A Christmas Carol runs through New Year's Eve 2025. Go to goodmantheatre.org for more information. Then send us your Christmas spirits via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to Does Balancing a Ladder on Your Chin Count as Playing the Violin, Matthew Croak? Web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand, and this week by Eric Essex, whose holiday album My Gift to You is in regular rotation in my house this time of year. Go to ericessex.net for more information. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to H.P. Berkman. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Matt Walker, the artistic director of the Troubadour Theatre Company in Los Angeles, now celebrating its 30th year with a revival of its epic holiday mashup, Die Hard, which sets that famous Christmas movie, Die Hard, to the music of the band Heart. Go to Truby.com for more information. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tischner, 993 2979ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
All right, I didn't put you on the spot to ask you your favorite Scrooge, but I will ask, who was your, in the last 25 years, who was the fastest Scrooge?
Well, I think I'll have to give you the award for that.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We'd be sitting backstage slowly changing for one of our you know, costume changes, and then all of a sudden somebody'd shout, "It's an Austin show! It's an Austin show!" And we would all scurry, start throwing our clothes on because we had half as much time to get ready. So... definitely.
You're welcome. God bless us, everyone.
Absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.